Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Soul Seekers podcast, where we believe that hunting has the power to transform lives through primal adventure as we share our mission of mentorship is conservation. To learn more about everything we do, check out our show on Carbon TV or go to soulseekersnation.com. Freedom on, everybody, and stay soulful. If you want to take your shooting experience to the next level, then check out Coltac gear for 100% made in America products. Coltac manufactures specialty gear designed for long-range shooting, hunting, and other tactical applications. From their support bags, suppressor covers, shooting mats, and a whole lot more, Coltac is creating tough, durable, and innovative gear for both civilian and professional markets. Go to Coltac.com to see all that they have to offer. That's Coltac.com. If you are wanting to become more accurate and deadly with your shooting, one of the best things you can do is upgrade your trigger with a Timney. Timney triggers are 100% made in America and have been since their founding, providing a crisp, reliable, and repeatable trigger break every time. I'll be shooting Timney triggers in my guns this year, and I hope you'll join me in shooting the world's finest trigger. Go to TimneyTriggers.com to get yours today. If you're looking to take your hunting to another level, there's no better way to do it than by subscribing to Onyx Hunt. If you want to get better at hunting and go deeper into your scouting, Onyx is the number one GPS app for that. Join the millions of hunters who trust Onyx Hunt to find more game, discover new access, and hunt smarter. If you want to know more about Onyx, go to onyxmaps.com/hunt or download their app today for a free trial. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another episode of the Soul Seekers Podcast. I'm your host, Johnny Mack. Today I'm joined by my good buddy here, Flatland Sam. We're recapping what 2025 was all about. The weird experiences we had, talking about bullets, arrows, big animals, little animals, and what's to come on the horizon for 2026 and here at Soul Seekers. So without further ado, my man, Sam, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing just fine. How are you?
Dude, it's great having you here, bro.
It's kind of funny you started talking about animals. Did you kill any rattlesnakes this year?
Yes. I killed one rattlesnake.
I know which one you're talking about.
It's a tiny little pencil-sized rattlesnake at the gun range.
I forgot about that.
That was the only one.
Yeah.
Found a couple dead ones in the neighborhood on the streets.
Yeah.
Neighbors killed one in the garage.
Yeah.
You killed a huge one.
Yeah, well, a couple good, you know, big ones, but nothing crazy, crazy. But, yeah, normally I'll have five or six of them that I'll get a year, but I think I only killed two or three this last year.
Five or six you kill a year?
Yeah. Yeah, just driving, like, you know, back wherever, you know, gravel road. Normally gravel roads.
They love them gravel roads. Yeah. See, my daily commute, or not even daily commute, but like going out to my lease.
Yeah.
I'm not ever really driving gravel roads.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm not having those experiences.
But yeah.
Yeah, rattlesnakes. That was with the kids. My youngest, we're at the gun range, and got out of the car literally just feet away, and one of them was like, "Dad, there's a snake." And I'm like, "What?" And it went under a garbage can. I was like, "Dude, little babies that don't control their venom, that would have been bad."
Oh, it don't matter what kind of rattlesnake it is, you know.
Yeah. Dude, so we are officially in January 2026. Last year was pretty wild, man. It was cool. We went to Idaho.
Yeah.
And for the very first time in a very long time, couldn't turn up a bear.
I know.
And I know we were hunting later, you know, in the spring bear season, the beginning of June, which is not ideal, but, you know, I've personally gotten on bears multiple times at the end of May, beginning of June. My first spring bear, that one you're sitting on, that was a 6.5. Shot it with a 6.5 on 6.5.
Oh, them 6.5s ain't any good.
6.5 bleed more. Anyways, so I was like, I was really disappointed on that hunt. And reflecting back, my feet got really beat up on that hunt. I had really bad blisters.
You did. Yeah, I remember now.
And that really took my heart out of it.
Really?
Not so much my heart. Okay, the heart's not the right
word. I was going to say, because I didn't feel like we tried.
Did we hunt hard? I felt like I could have hunted harder, but my feet were like, I'm not walking up this hill again and just getting beat. I don't know. What do you think?
I felt like we hunted. I felt like we did everything we could.
Mm-hmm. It was wild.
We did have a close encounter with that cow elk. That was kind of cool.
That was really cool.
You know, but no bears.
Yeah, no bears. Eventually, I gotta get that monkey off my back. I need to kill a bear.
Yeah.
And you still haven't gotten your bear rug back.
No, I haven't.
You talked to that guy?
No, I haven't. I know how backed up the tanneries are and all. So I just, man, I just, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll get it, you know.
Yeah. Thinking back on spring bear, it feels like a long time ago.
I know. It sure does.
Like a long time ago.
Yeah.
But here we are, like, you know, 4 months out.
I know.
Right?
I know.
It's crazy.
It when you get older, time really, it creeps up on you.
Time flies. Dude, this is my fourth Christmas in Texas.
That's
like the other day of my wife meeting you in the Family Dollar. Yeah. It's almost a half decade ago.
I know.
Like we're getting close to that point. So that was really fascinating. One of the things that reflecting back on 2025, my hunting season, my goal this last year was to become a better marksman.
Mm-hmm.
And signed up for my very first PRS match, ended up doing a second one. And I got to the range a lot more this year. I was able to take my kids out. They were shooting, all of my kids. My youngest, he didn't pull the trigger, but he was shooting steel at the 22 course with me looking through the gun and me telling him when to squeeze the trigger. All of them were shooting.
Mm-hmm.
And had a heck of a year.
Yeah, it was a good year. It was a strange year.
Until the weather shifted.
Yeah.
So, all you listeners out there, you are going to get to see season 6 of Soul Seekers on Carbon TV launching here probably towards the end of January, beginning of February is what my plan is to launch. But I shot my buck this year. Last year in 2024, I was like, dude, I've never shot a buck with a bow. I'm focusing on shooting a buck. And I got one. It's mounted on the wall up above you. Super proud of it. I stare at it all the time. Love it. Well, this year, after all the deer that I saw on camera, there's only one buck that really tickled my fancy. And he was young. But he was so unique that I didn't trust that other hunters wouldn't shoot him.
Mm-hmm.
To the point where I was like, okay, well, if I see this deer, I'm not hunting him, but if I see this deer, I'm going to shoot him. Otherwise, I'm shooting does during archery season.
Yeah.
Sure enough, my second sit of the year, he walks out right to me, and I stick him. But he doesn't bleed. And I stick him a second time. And the arrow gets caught behind his back shoulder. And then we had to track him with dogs, and he wasn't even dead by the time we got on him.
Yeah.
Which is the craziest thing. You guys are all going to get to see this in the episode because the footage is pretty wild. But
them arrows, like, you couldn't have shot them any better. You know, once we got to it, I was thinking, oh, man, he shot in the guts, you know. Fine. You know, it happened.
Yeah.
You know, but that wasn't the case.
No. No, I'm not, you know. Hogs, we've gut shot all different things. You know, I'm not proud of it. I don't want to talk about a lot of gut shots, but it happens at times.
Sure.
Right? I put phenomenal arrows on this deer.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't drop it. It was crazy.
Yeah, it was a very strange way them arrows passed through that deer. It's just very strange. You mm-hmm. know? Doesn't add up.
Yeah. One of the things about 2025 was I was finally getting to a point where I've killed enough deer where I'm like, okay, I've got an archery buck. I've mm-hmm. got an out-of-state buck with a rifle. I've, you know.
Yeah.
Now I'm ready to start holding out for more mature deer.
Mm-hmm.
But this buck was so non-typical.
Yeah.
That I had to shoot it because I knew I had doe tags and other. I knew I was going to get more meat in the freezer. So
right.
An extra, what, 30 pounds of meat, 20 pounds of meat? How much more meat would you get off of like a more mature buck down here in Texas?
Over what you had?
Yeah.
Maybe 15 pounds, maybe, oh, you know, okay. 15 so, to 20 pounds.
So if we're talking meat, I'll get a little bit more, but not enough to like, sure. Like, dude, you could have got 50 pounds more.
The thing about that buck is that the chances of you getting to kill one as unique as that, you'll probably never get it again. Mm-hmm. You know, most people will never see anything like that. And
yeah,
that's just kind of how it is.
Yeah. So it was pretty wild. So I shoot this buck opening weekend, and then I'm like, golly, man, like, it's an awesome deer, but I was really looking forward to hunting the rut this year.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure enough, the rut started off really good.
Yeah.
For like a week.
Mm-hmm.
And then it hit 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And it killed the rut.
Yep. Them deer were too darn hot in the day. They were, you wouldn't see them.
And deer just straight disappeared. And I was like, wow, if I wouldn't have shot my buck that opening weekend, there's a chance I might have not even shot a buck this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's crazy to me.
Yeah, and I there's some folks, I don't know if the other people out there that hunt with you on that lease.
They haven't even, like Austin never even shot a buck this year.
Yeah, yeah, and season's over, mm-hmm. you know, for them guys and all that. So it's strange.
Very strange. Like, super fascinating. So I was able to get out, get my buck, shot a doe. My middle son shot his first deer. Oldest boy shot his first hog. Youngest boy was with me, and we shot a spike buck, and he was just over the moon and got to use a knife for the first time. Like, there were some major, major wins in 2025.
Absolutely.
And the hunting was odd.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it was bad. It was just different than normal because, you know, in the spring, we had such a wet spring.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the wettest springs we've had, and kind of leading into summer too. You know, we hadn't had rain like that in a while, you know, in the spring. And so we were really thinking that come, you know, fall and winter, that it was going to be pretty good for antler growth and all that. But, and I think that it was, judging by some of the strange looking deer we've seen, you know, mm-hmm. but yeah, for the rut, it was, I hunted, oh, I don't know how many times I went. I went out a bunch, and I rattled in a bunch of deer. I don't know how many deer I rattled in, but probably more than 10, at mm-hmm. least 10 bucks, you know. And most of them were pretty young. Couple mature deer, but you just didn't have a whole lot of time, you know. It just got so hot. It just wouldn't – it's not normal.
Yeah.
Normally it gets cold, you know, by around Christmas it gets pretty chilly and it kind of stays that way, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it helps the deer movement, and it never got like that.
I had, you know, usually you go hunting and all you see is does, right? And not just whitetail, like Midwest hunting, but like you go out in the mountains, you see does. It's hard to find the bucks.
Mm-hmm.
I had does not daylight for over a month and a half.
Yeah.
They just straight disappeared because I was doe hunting. I already filled my buck tag, mm-hmm. filled my spike tag. And I was like, dude, let's go get some does. Let's fill all these tags. Haven't even seen one.
Mm-hmm.
Just today, today is January 7th.
Mm-hmm.
I had does daylight for the very first time this morning, and I was like, okay, then they're probably going to be around this evening. They showed up in the evening daylight.
That's,
I'm like,
good.
Okay, this weekend we're going out.
Yeah, you know? It was strange. Like on Christmas Day, it was like 82 degrees or something.
Second hottest Christmas on record since they've been keeping track.
Yeah, isn't that crazy? And
hit 88, I think.
Yeah, oh, it was just, it was shorts, you know, people were wearing shorts. But yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. I've seen a lot of does pretty consistent where I'm hunting, you know.
Yeah.
But I did have a couple sits, one with my wife and one or two by myself where, that evening my wife killed the double. We sat there in the wind, and it was cold that day. It was north wind. And we didn't see anything until the last 30 minutes of shooting light.
Mm.
And two came out, you know. Now, I attribute that to the wind. But there was a couple other sits where it was warm, you know, and we didn't see nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nothing. And that's very rare for me to see nothing, you know. Not saying that it can't happen, but
right.
It's pretty rare, right. You know. You'll at least see a doe and a fawn or something, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was a strange year.
Very strange. I will say, though, backing up, I had a lot of wins, and I want to talk about your wins as well. But I shot my very first turkey in the springtime this year. That kicked off the year.
Yeah.
That was really special for me.
Pretty cool. And you were hunting by yourself.
I was hunting by myself. I could have killed two toms.
Yeah.
But I didn't get the second. I was thinking that it was out of reach, but it wouldn't. If I would have just been quick, I would have bam, bam.
Yeah, it would have worked.
Uh-huh.
You took your 870, didn't you?
Heck yeah.
Yeah, I would say 870 would have handled it.
Yep.
You know.
So that was pretty cool. The bear season is kind of weird, similar to like the rut in November, where it's like, where are these animals? We covered so many miles.
Yeah. Yeah.
On that bear hunt.
That's why I didn't feel like we didn't hunt hard, because I felt like with all the traveling we did through the mountains looking, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't just hiking. We were looking. We saw deer, we saw elk, no bears, you know,
mm-hmm.
just wasn't nothing out.
It was crazy.
Strange.
It's crazy. Shooting wise, though, you started really diving into PRS this year.
Yeah.
Are you more of a PRS guy than a hunter now? Like, is that tickling your fancy more?
You know, it's funny. I knew you were going to ask me that. It's a strange question to ask, because I hunt to eat. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I've killed 6 deer this year, and wife too, and I still probably got another half dozen I need to kill, which, you know, we get extra tags on the ranch that I hunt, and we have an overpopulation of deer. It's out of balance. But, so no, I don't think, you know, I love to hunt. That's what I started doing shooting wise. You know, I'll always love to hunt. I don't know. I'm not more of a hunting or PRS guy than a hunter. I just like PRS because it's a sport. I treat it as a sport. It's like playing hockey or something, you know?
Yeah.
You
like competing.
I like competing, and I like to have a goal and have something in my mind that I'm working towards. And I like to do hard things,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
why you and I get along.
And it's funny, you know, like talking with people that shoot in the PRS, there's a lot of people that used to rodeo. Boston and a handful of guys used to rope, Morgan as well. And, you know, Morgan said it. He said, this is just like roping. I mean, it's the same thought process. You have to think about everything, you know,
mm-hmm.
and timing is everything. Anyway, so it's just for me, it's just a sport. I really do enjoy it. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's really fun when you do good, you know,
mm-hmm.
Just like any sport. And,
oh, yeah. Losing sucks. Winning, you know, is awesome.
It's taught me a whole lot of not only just shooting stuff, but thinking wise. And I pay attention to a lot more things. And during hunting, I pay attention to a lot more things, you know. And I don't know. It's fun. I enjoy it. I definitely got sucked into it. And I'm looking forward to this year coming up. Even it's funny, you know, it's I guess we're 2 weeks out from the first pro match of the year, and my barrel is on borrowed time, we'll just say that.
Uh-huh.
I think it's probably past its lifetime, but I'm gonna try to limp it through this last one, and I'm a little worried about it. I'm not gonna lie.
Yeah.
I'm pretty concerned about it. Like, it's funny because normally I would, like, before I got serious into this, I wouldn't even, like, I'd just been like, oh, we'll be okay, you know. But mm-hmm. now I'm thinking, man, I've had some good, you know, some good tough matches leading into this thing that I did fairly well at, you know, top 10 and top 5 at a couple of them, you know. Anyways, so now I'm like, well, heck, I can do this. I can do it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If I can put everything together, I might be able to compete. And
yeah.
I don't want my barrel to start doing weird things, you know, and I don't know, you know. So I'm a little anxious about that. I got Garrett bringing me one down when he comes down to shoot it. But anyways, I'm kind of going on a rant. But
dude, you love to nerd out about PRS.
It's just there's so much that goes into it. It's kind of like playing the guitar. You know what I mean? You got a lot to do with your hands. You got a rhythm you got to follow. And you got to think about your next move and all that. So mm-hmm. it's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun. It makes you think, you know.
Yeah.
And it's hard. And I like hard things. So mm-hmm. anyway.
It is hard. It takes a lot of time to get good at it.
It does. But it's just like the guitar too. Like once you can start changing, you can hit notes and you can change it and you don't even have to look at your fingers anymore. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, like,
yeah,
it's like playing a song. You know, you just kind of start doing it.
I will say I'm shooting that, NRL Hunter match on the first.
Yeah.
Which for all you listeners out there, I'm really excited to shoot it, to see the difference between what NRL Hunter is and PRS. And then what, like, I know I'm a better shooter for hunting because of PRS,
mm-hmm.
but like, what does NRL Hunter do to make you a better hunter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're going to enjoy it. It's a, I might shoot that one. There's actually a match down south in South Texas, a 2-day match down there the same weekend. So I might drive down there and shoot that one. I'm not sure yet. Kind of undecided if I'm going to do that. But if I don't, I'm going to shoot that one.
Mm.
But I talked to, it's funny you say that. I was talking to Thomas Riley last weekend at the range, and he's the match director. He's one of the match directors for that. What they call it, NRL Hunter Games, just a 1-day deal, you know. And it's going to be, he's got a good course of fire. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. How many shots?
I can't remember. I think he said it was, they were going to do 8 stages. So I'm not real sure how, maybe, I don't know how they do it exactly. I think you get, I'm not sure. I don't want to misrepresent it, but it's less than a PRS match.
Yeah. I will say, you're talking about blowing out your barrel and all mm-hmm. that stuff. The average hunter, I don't ever think even considers, oh, my barrel shot.
Yeah.
I mean, just taking a guess.
Yeah.
I don't want to speak for other people, but I mean, how many people shoot? Because it takes a lot to burn out a barrel.
Well, in different calibers have different life expectancies, or, you know, and most people don't think about it, you know. I just, in the PRS world, it's something that everybody has to deal with, and, you know, they say, you know, your top pros, they'll say 2,000 rounds and the barrel's getting changed, whether it's still shooting bug holes or not.
Mm-hmm.
Mine's still shooting good, but I know I'm over 2,500. And it could happen. It could have happened a month ago. It could happen tomorrow. I don't know when it's going to start going, but it's up there in the tooth, you know?
Yeah. You know, it was really interesting in talking about shooting, but shifting gears into bullets. This year was really fascinating how you and I both got to see firsthand how bullets make a difference for hunting.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like for shooting, there's always, you know, a match, a tip, burger, whatever's. But like, but hunting, like, what bullet are you going to shoot out of your gun to kill an animal?
Mm-hmm.
We hunted with ELDXs.
Yep.
ELDMs.
Yep.
Bull coppers, the CX.
Yep.
I feel like there are other ones that we shot this year.
Jeff was using the hammers or
hammer bullets.
Yeah.
It's really weird because just like a caliber is best for an animal, a bullet's best for an animal also.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that's weird, but like you find a gun, it shoots well, shoots accurate, and you just want to use that load across the board.
Mm-hmm.
But here in Texas, we face, you know, I'm shooting little 5-pound to 8-pound foxes
mm-hmm.
all the way up to with the same gun that I could potentially be shooting a 300-pound hog.
Absolutely. Yeah.
What bullet am I choosing?
Yeah.
How am I setting that gun up for success? Am I going to go supersonic as fast as possible with a light bullet? Do I want something that expands? Or do I want something that grenades?
Yeah.
You know, what that all these things that this year I've really been chewing on and diving into. You know, we took the 22 Creedmoor on the bear hunt. Unfortunately, mm-hmm. we did not see a bear because I wanted to see what that was going to do. However, I think Hornady just came out with, I think, a 75 grain copper CX.
Mm-hmm.
And I was asking Seth, I was like, Seth, you know, if I'm going to take the 22 Creed, what bullet would you recommend for bear? And he's like, dude, I'd probably take the CXs.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, I can't believe like going down a weight, a 75 grain bullet, shooting it cross canyon at a bear and expecting it to drop.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's your thought on that?
Man, I think that these little bullets are really, I think that they really perform well. Kind of like Jeff, he shot that Ram with the 22 Creed.
Yeah, the 80 grain ELDX.
Yeah, the ELDX. And or no, that was an M. That was an M.
Okay.
ELDM, and it, you know, stone dead, no question. But yeah, it, I'm a believer in these little bullets. I really am. And I'm not just saying that because that's kind of the hot new thing, but, I think that, you know, I think yeah, I've shot six deer this year. I've shot four of them with a six arc and two of them with 308. And the six arc, I was shooting a 90 grain ELDX. And, I've shot, between those deer that I killed, they were, I think the closest one was probably 125 yards. And the furthest one was 480. And I put the bullet where it's supposed to be every time.
Where do you aim at? Because I feel like this has a lot to do with, oh, the deer didn't run or the animal dropped instantly.
Well, two of them was straight lungs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I don't know why they just dropped, but they did. Now that, you know, it took them a second to expire on the ground, not like a headshot, you know, you didn't hit the nervous system, you know,
right.
So you got to go through that process. And then two of them, were right there in the heart area, mm-hmm. you know, upper heart, and they were expired very quickly. Now with my 308, I shot 178 grain match bullets through it, ELDMs. And, one of them was at, 432. I remember that one. That was the first one.
And this is a 308 that's built for competition.
Yeah, it's. I shot.
So how fast are you pushing those bullets?
They're like 2820.
Okay.
So not super fast, you know.
Yeah.
The first one was 432. It actually ran a little bit, and it was double lung. And then the second one was 660, and it dropped. It pancaked that one. But yeah, it's, I like the little bullets. I like the light recoil.
The light recoil is where it's at.
Yeah.
Like that I think is the biggest thing that makes me want to grab the 22 arc, the six arc, the 22 Creedmoor the most.
Yeah. They're just enjoyable to shoot. And man, they work really well.
Mm-hmm. Now you had some hog hunters from Kansas or some hunters from Kansas come down and hunt hogs with you mm-hmm. recently. But you had some issues with actually dropping animals.
Yeah. You know, I've shot a lot of hogs with that six arc with the same load. And they take it a lot. They can absorb it a lot better,
mm-hmm.
than the deer have from my experience. But yeah, it's, I don't know, them deer or them hogs, they just, gosh, they're tough. And you know that, you know, mm-hmm. but, yeah, they were shooting. One night we went out and he was using a 105 black ammo. I don't think it has anything to do with the bullet. I think it's just these tough hogs, you know. And
their hide is so thick.
Yeah, these were pretty good size hogs. They were around 150 pounds, mm-hmm. you know, 120, 150 pounds. But yeah, we did a countdown, and I went ahead and shot with him, and dropped the first one. I did with a headshot. That's just what I do. Get some quick, and then he shot his in the shoulder, and it ate it pretty good, and dumped over and was doing its kicking thing, and all of a sudden I'm watching. And we were just going to shoot twice and let mm-hmm. them hogs kind of settle out in that big wheat pasture and try to get on them again, you know. They're out there just destroying it. You need to get out. I have to take you out there and let you see it. It's as bad what they're doing. Anyway, well, I'm sitting there watching his, and I'm shooting a bolt gun. He had a gas gun, and we're high-fiving, and I get back on the gun, and his is standing up, and I'm like, no, sir. I put another one in it, and he thought it was just – free for all at that point, and he shot two more anyways. The other two he'd put them down and thought they were down. We'd go retrieve these things out of the pasture, and lo and behold, them son of a guns are still alive big time. With what looks to be lethal shots, you know. But yeah, they're tough. Mm-hmm. But I still love the small light recoil and stuff.
Yeah, what were they shooting?
He was shooting six arc. He was shooting a 6mm arc, and he was using that 105 boat tail hollow point out of Hornady Black.
Uh-huh.
Great ammo. I think that's some of that for my, you know, when I got my wife's gun put together, I think that's some of the accuratest stuff that I shot through it.
Yeah,
that stuff. But
yeah,
I know that bullet's not ideal for hunting, but it'll do it. You know.
Yeah. You know what's really interesting is like drawing the line between ethical
mm-hmm.
and lethal,
mm-hmm.
right? Like,
yeah.
Like, what's lethal? Is it ethical? Is it ethical? Is it lethal?
Yeah.
I'm going back and forth. So you're saying like, you know, that bullet's not meant for hunting, but
it'll do the job.
Do the job.
Yeah.
You know, I've heard a lot of people say that the Hornady ELDMs actually kill better than the ELDXs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I think it's circumstantial.
Right.
I think everybody says it. You put it in the right spot, it doesn't matter. You know, but it's it definitely matters when you got them marginal shots and stuff like that. And you think about just shooting through a hog, you know, and things are thick and heavy and mm-hmm. dense animal. I mean, you need every bit of giddy up you can get.
So, talking about hogs here, my oldest boy shot his very first hog this year.
Yeah.
Came in. This thing, I mean, it was every bit of 250 pounds, maybe more, because when I went to try to drag it, and I work out, you know, I work out.
Yeah.
But I was like, dude, this thing's not moving.
Yeah.
I'm not getting this out of here.
Yeah.
He high-shouldered it, dropped it in its tracks. Listeners, you'll get to see this on season 6 of Soul Seekers. We're celebrating, and he's like, Dad, it's still kicking. And I'm thinking, yeah, it's kicking.
It is expiring.
It's expiring.
Yeah.
And he's like, Dad, it got back up. And I look, and this hog, after taking a bullet straight to the shoulder, gets back up and starts running off.
Mm-hmm.
And the gun's attached to a tripod, so at that point, I was like, all right, kid, you got to move. And I just swing the gun, and I just rip a shot as fast as I can on a moving animal on a, you know, quick decision.
Yeah, yeah.
And I gut shot it.
Yeah.
You know, but I hear bullet impact. I'm like, okay, it has two bullets in it. It ain't going far.
Yeah.
And it ended up going like a couple hundred yards in a creek bottom, up a drainage, up the steep embankment, and it ended up getting stuck in between two trees. It was such a big hog.
Yeah.
And it was still alive. We walked up on it. I had to put a couple more shots on that.
Mm-hmm.
We were hunting with the ELDX.
Mm-hmm.
I think what I've come to learn is that because ELDX is meant for 300 yards and out to retain its shape,
mm-hmm.
because it explodes like a grenade inside of that,
mm-hmm.
it's hitting these thick-hided animals.
Coming apart, maybe.
And coming apart so much that it's losing its transfer of energy.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
And even at close distance, you know, this thing is still rah, rah.
Oh, yeah.
And after having four shots put on it, mm-hmm. you know, and that first one should have done the job.
Sure. Yeah.
It was crazy.
Yeah. It's, I've never hunted an animal like them. I was telling you, like, I just get more fascinated by them the more I have hunters hunt them and watch people shoot them and mm-hmm. shoot them myself. And then, you know, go out and start butchering on them a little bit and cutting some meat. And I'm like, golly, it's just unbelievable what they can get through. You know, and it's funny, deer are the same way. Not as tough as these hogs that I think, but how fast a deer can cover 100 yards.
So fast.
You know, it's radical how fast they can just move,
mm-hmm.
you know.
I mean, what, 4 or 5 seconds?
It's just like, they're here and then they're there. You know, it's so quick how they can move. I ran my dog on a few deer this year, and a lot of them hunters that people that have contacted me, you know, and I don't have to do this for money or anything. I just kind of do it for friends and whatnot. People that know me or that need help. So mm-hmm. I don't take it that serious, but I do have a good tracking dog, and you know, you always get out there and turn the dog out, and once you recover, they're just blown away that it's that far, you know, and just can't imagine it. How did it go? You know, how did it go a mile and a half or a mile and a quarter?
Mm-hmm.
How in the world did it do that? You know, it got right. a bullet in it, and I'm right. like, man, guys, you got to understand, like, these animals can cover some ground.
Yes.
Quickly.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I need a jib for my buck that I shot, and mm-hmm. that had two arrows in it.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, that went a couple hundred yards.
Yeah, I can't remember how far it was.
I pushed it a couple times, though.
Yeah, it got bumped. You know, you could see where it had bedded. I think it was probably 300 yards, but, you know, roughly. But, yeah, it just, the animal's will to live is astounding.
Yeah. How many of these deer that you tracked this year were just horrible shots? Versus like, wow, that really should have just killed it and it didn't die.
I think I tracked 7 and recovered 5. Well, no, sorry. Tracked 8 and recovered, tracked 8 deer. No, I tracked 8 animals and recovered 6 of them. The 2 that I didn't recover, 1 was a deer that I didn't recover. Still alive.
On that ranch.
Yep. Still alive.
You laid eyes on it, but you backed out.
Yep. Still alive. And then the second one was an Audad, still alive, and ended up getting killed. But the deer, I would say, you know, and I don't do a whole bunch of them. You'd have to ask Grant or somebody like that that does a whole bunch of them. Mm-hmm. I would say all of them were not great.
And that's because a lot of people just like, I shot my gun last year. It's good enough. Yeah. Like, people just don't shoot.
Yeah. Well, and I'm kind of maybe a little the wrong person to ask, because shooting in the PRS, you know, it's changed my way of looking at shooting. But I think that, I think people get target panic, get excited. Mm-hmm. And it's normal, you know, it's normal. And if you haven't ever lost an animal, if you have never not recovered an animal, you haven't been hunting long enough.
Right.
You know, it's bound to happen. Unfortunately, it's bound to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'd say most of them are probably not great shots.
Yeah.
I didn't recover one this year that was shot in the leg or anything crazy like that, you know, but yeah. Most of them were in the guts, and for my dog, that's the best case scenario. You know, if you got a gut shot deer and you can get out of there and let it lay down, we're going to find it every time.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, what's really fascinating going back to the bullets is the spike buck I shot this year. I shot it head on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I cooked the tenderloins and I went to bite into the tenderloins, and I got a piece of lead in the tenderloin.
from that bullet exploding on the front end of it, and it just went all the way through.
Yeah. Crazy. Remember, you sent me a text. Yeah. Yeah.
I bit into it. Like, oh, man, what is this?
Yeah.
Lead poisoning.
Yeah. Turn into Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle.
Right. Anyways, that was wild.
Yeah.
And, you know, because you and I, what was it, maybe 2 years ago, or maybe it was last winter, doubled up on coyotes.
Yeah.
And I was hunting with a 308, and I shot my coyote with a 308 frontal at probably like 50 yards.
Yeah.
And it didn't exit.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, oh, okay. So when I found lead in a deer from a 25 Creedmoor, I was like, holy smokes. That blew me away.
Yeah.
If I would have shot it with a copper, it probably would have had an exit hole out of its butt.
I bet it would have diverted a little bit before it got there, but it would have came out somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
It is so crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy how, you know, it's funny, we talk about bullet construction and all that, and there's rabbit holes on rabbit holes, but them solid coppers are, you know, copper's a lot harder, lot harder metal than lead. Lead's incredibly soft, you know, and it just kind of flakes and flattens and, and breaks apart really easy. Them copper, man, them things are tough.
The deer that we lost of my boy that he shot, we didn't shoot it with a copper. We've talked about this before.
Yeah, we've chatted about
this. If it would have been shot with a copper bullet, that would have dropped.
Yeah.
But because I shot it with a bullet that didn't expand properly,
yeah,
it was like shooting it with a full metal jacket, penciled through, bled a ton.
Yeah.
But walked off.
Yeah, and that was a terrible day to try to recover a deer.
Just dumping rain.
Man, remember how much rain was there? It was like a little river running down them cattle trails. Remember?
Yep.
I mean, golly, it was bad. And at that time, my dog was young, and I didn't trust her, and it wouldn't have been no good to have her out in the pouring. I mean, it was pouring down rain.
Yes.
I don't know where that deer went, Johnny.
I have no idea either. No idea. It's crazy. Well, what are you thinking for 2026? What goals do you have? I'm thinking... I'll tell you mine after you tell me yours.
Well, hunting wise,
dude, whatever. Hunting wise,
oh,
shooting wise, life wise.
I don't know. Shooting wise, I just want to continue to improve and do the best I can.
You're so humble. You're so humble. You want to win. Be honest.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't want to win? If you don't want to win, why are you doing it? You know.
Well, I mean, for example, PRS for me, I just want to get better at shooting.
Yeah. 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 I mean, at this point, I want to do well. You know.
You want to take a trophy home?
I'd love to have a trophy. You know, even if it was just from a local one day match, I'd love to to get. I've been very close. I've gotten fourth. You know, just outside of getting a trophy at a one day.
Which is like one or two shots away from winning.
Yeah. Well, at that match, I was, very close. Very, very close. A couple shots and then time, you know. But anyways, I just want to do really well with that. Make it to the finale. That'd be great. We'll see how the year shakes out with all that. Hunting-wise, I'd like to get out west and do something. Bear, hopefully we can get that done. I know I've got was supposed to go to Kansas this weekend to pheasant hunt, but time won't allow for it. Work, busy, crazy time of the year, you know. So not able to get out there and do that. Goose hunt. I think we're going to go to Arkansas and hunt snow geese again. We kind of do that every year, so I'm looking forward to that. I don't know beyond that. It's just, I'm kind of random, Johnny.
Yeah.
I'd sure like to go shoot a speed goat, out west somewhere. I'd love to do that. We talked prairie dogs, maybe going up hunting with Dustin. I'd love to do that. That'd
be
great.
That was so much fun.
Turkey season, you know, I'm not a diehard turkey hunter, but I do love to chase them. I've actually guided more people on turkey hunts than I've killed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, which I enjoyed that too. So, I'm excited to maybe get myself a turkey this year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm just I'm very optimistic. I'm looking forward to it all.
I love it. So I got to get the monkey off my back with the bear.
Yeah.
It's been too long.
I want to see you shoot a bear.
I want to shoot a bear.
Yeah.
Because ultimately, shooting a bear is what got me into hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But then, it's been so many years since I've killed one. But taking my marksmanship out west and shooting a bear, because chances are you see him at longer distances.
Yeah.
Like, I want to apply my shooting skills mm-hmm. to that.
Yeah.
But I got 6 points for mule deer and 6 points for antelope in Wyoming, and I want to shoot a mule deer. I've always wanted. It doesn't have, a 200-inch buck, 180 would be phenomenal. But I want a 4x4 with eye guards.
Yeah.
Symmetrical, big, and not crabs. I want deep forks. Like when you think mule deer, that's what I want. And I've been waiting to hunt mule deer because I left Washington.
Yeah.
And up there, it was hunting mule deer, but it was 3-point minimum, and all the deer I've seen were 2 points. Mm-hmm. 2 point, 2 point, 2 point. There was one buck, and I had my rifle in hand, that it had a 3rd point, but I couldn't tell if it was an inch long to be legal.
Yeah.
And I was like, doggone it.
Yeah.
But then anyways, that's still not like the representation of a mule deer
that
I have in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that is, I'm going to be talking with the Eastman's hunting guys and using some connections within that I've built with relationships to figure out, do I apply using my Onyx Hunt research tools mm-hmm. and seeing that I can draw some mule deer tags this year, or do I sit and wait on those points until, I have 15.
Yeah.
And then really go get after it. But I'm like, okay, well, I turned 42 this year.
Don't start talking like that.
Well, no. I'm not saying I'm not looking at the end of my hunting journey. Yeah, I'm just like, okay, I have 6 points. And if I wait till 15 points, that's another 9 years. Okay, now I'm 50 years old,
mm-hmm.
which, don't get me wrong, I'm thinking about running a marathon this year.
Awesome.
Yeah. Not because I want to run a marathon, because I asked my brother, dude, run a marathon with me. Because he's not a runner. He's a big dude.
Yeah, he's a big man.
He's a big, big dude. And I wouldn't even run it at my pace. I would run it to run it with him.
Sure.
Let's do it. But I still want to hone my, I want to be agile in the mountains.
Yeah.
And with Colorado changing their point system, I'm like, okay, so in 9 years, what else is going to happen? What else is going to change versus, let's capitalize on some points and let's just go hunt.
The point creep is real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's kind of where I was at. I was like 50, we don't even know what's going to happen this year with the financial system and all this craziness that's going on.
Lying.
So that's what I have in mind. The one thing is I have enough points to draw a good antelope tag,
mm-hmm.
but then we're talking with Dustin Coleman at Coltac. He has a great access to phenomenal hunting for antelope. But the problem is it only takes 1 or 2 points to draw that unit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, dude, okay, so now I'm wasting 6 points to go hunt that unit.
Yeah.
But he was able to get it done in one day.
Yeah, I'd be willing to cash mine in or uh-huh. something like that.
Anyway, so these are some of the things I'm thinking about.
Yeah.
I want to shoot a mule deer. I'm trying to figure out how to shoot one in Texas
Yeah, it's tough in Texas. We got
to go to Nebraska and go out to the sand hills.
That'd be pretty cool.
After November and go,
Yeah.
Dude, I just want... Called in a very first fox this last year. Just got done calling in a bobcat. I'm starting to check off these bucket list items.
Yeah.
Okay, I've always wanted to see a fox. You've heard me talk about foxes, bobcat. The day before I left the state of Washington, I saw a bobcat cross the road in front of me.
Yeah.
I had a gun in my truck, and it was bobcat season. but it wasn't public land where I was at. And I was like, oh, got it. I could totally chase that sucker and get that.
Yeah.
Maybe not. They're fast. But
golly, they're fast.
But anyways, these are the things. So I'm really thinking mule deer. And then I really want to start hunting elk again.
Yeah.
But the interesting thing is about hunting, so expensive.
Yeah, and time. It's expensive with your time, mm-hmm. especially us living down here in Texas, you know, to go out west. I don't know that I have the time budget to really attack that right. as it needs to be done. That's where my hang up with that. I absolutely want to, you know,
mm-hmm.
but to be as successful as possible, I don't know that I have the time budget for it.
You know, bringing up a name that got some shade this last year, Ryan Lampers.
Mm-hmm.
When I had him on the podcast previously, I asked him, it's like, dude, how do you always kill all these animals? He's like, well, I don't do a hunt unless I can do a minimum 7 days.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, well then he goes, but preferably 10. I'm like, well, no wonder. At 10 days, you get to know the area.
Well, you have to.
And you get to see the animals. Yeah. You get to, you know, the weekend warriors, the guys who are like, okay, listen, we're taking Friday off of work and maybe Monday, but we're leaving Thursday night after work. We're driving through the night. We're going to get there. We're going to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully we get something down. Then we got a boogie back, which is my life.
Yeah. Yeah. I understand.
You know, like, you know, you do your best.
Right.
Yeah. And I want more.
Yeah. I understand.
Yeah. So bird hunting still, like, I want a pheasant hunt. Waterfowl doesn't get me.
Yeah, I got to get you to the right waterfowl hunt.
You love it?
It's like deer hunting, but all your friends are sitting next to you and you drink coffee and eat breakfast and don't have to be quiet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can be loud.
Yeah. Goose hunting's a blast. Hunting specs. They're hunting specs right now in Arkansas. I'm getting on them pretty good. Again, weather's kind of weird right now. With migrations.
Way warm.
Yeah, way warm. Who knows? I really like hunting them snow geese. They're fun. Some people don't like to eat them. Most people probably don't like to eat them, but I do. They're fine for me. And if we kill an abundance of them, as we have in the past, dog food.
Oh, yeah.
I've had hundreds of pounds. Maybe not hundreds, but 100 pounds of snow geese before and lots of dog food, you know.
That's cool.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's good.
Yeah, you would enjoy it. You would have fun. We just got to get you there.
I know I'd enjoy it. Like, just shooting anything is a blast. But, like, the amount of time that goes into waterfowl hunting, setup, gear. Yeah. It's like, I don't know, man. I'd really love to shoot a four-legged critter.
Yeah. We'll talk about the waterfowl after this.
I freaking love it. When it comes to hunting, like, you've been around me now for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you're wanting to talk about hunting more from a different perspective since hearing a lot of the stuff? Or, you know, and maybe I'm not setting this question up properly, but down here in Texas, culture is hunting.
Yeah.
So it's typical to be like, yeah, you know, shoot deer, eat deer,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. But you're just talking about goose or waterfowl hunting. And Senator Kennedy today just came out and mentioned something about how they're thinking about changing the laws because a lot of ag fields get flooded intentionally to protect the crops so they don't freeze, which then brings in birds. And then is that considered, like, I don't know if it's baiting was a term, but, like, you know, because you're not allowed to bait waterfowl.
Mm-hmm.
So is that good or bad, or is that fair chase or not fair chase? How does that go with habitat, you know?
I think that a lot of it is habitat. That conversation what you just laid out, that has been an argument for a very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it'll always be kind of an argument with stuff like that. But, you know, there's a lot of good waterfowl advocacy groups, Delta Waterfowl being one of the good ones, big ones, and they do a lot of good, you know, I think, with nesting areas and stuff like that. So I don't know, Johnny. That's a tough conversation to have, and I don't know that I'm educated enough to have it, you know.
Do you keep your thumb on the pulse of hunting across America now?
Maybe more than I used to. You know, I'm at least aware of it, of what's happening and stuff like that. But I'm definitely not as vocal or as I don't stand up and beat the drum and yell and scream as much as I probably should, you know, for as much of it as I do and as much as I rely on it, you know, every year. And so, yeah, I'm at least aware of it now. And I don't know.
It's ironic that this initiative, the CAD initiative in Colorado that got beat this last year, a lady just got killed by a cougar?
Yeah, I know. We were chatting about that over one of the last Christmases or family get-togethers we had. We were chatting about that, and it's a shame. It's real. I mean, these animals live in the world we live in, right. You know, and we're just an animal. I mean, I don't believe that, but we're just a species like they are, you know, and we mingle together. And the reality is that kind of stuff can happen and will happen.
Yeah.
And it will continue to happen, you know. It's just, I don't know.
I find it very ironic.
Yeah, it is.
That they were doing their best to ban cat hunting.
Yeah.
And then a lady gets killed.
Lo and behold, I mean, my gosh, they're vicious, you know.
Yeah.
And they taste good.
But I am looking forward to wolves getting delisted.
Yeah, you know, it's. I don't know. I don't see it any different than a coyote, really, for me.
Yeah.
They're a predator.
Well, no, just the fact, like, let's hunt them. I know you can kill them in Idaho.
Yeah, I think they should be hunted, you know.
Yeah.
I don't think that they should be overhunted, just like any animal, but, you know, if there's an abundance of them, just like these wild hogs down here. I mean, you go out every night. And do work on them, and you can go out the next night and do the same thing again. They're not going anywhere.
Yeah,
that's what's funny. You know, going back, it's related to what we're talking about. But you know, them Kansas guys, they said, "Oh, we missed a couple of them to leave some seeds out in that field, so there'll be some more."
Yeah,
and I told them, I said, "Guys, you don't ever have to worry about that. Never leave a seed in the field."
The gestational period for hogs is 90 days.
Yeah, it's quick.
Yeah. I mean, dude, that's, and you're not just having one. You're having a whole litter.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, speaking of hogs, I got, well, we won't go into that. Anyway.
Strawberry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Better not.
Yeah.
Let's just say Texas is a wild place.
It is.
It's a wild place. Man, I'm leaving all you listeners hanging on that one. There's a story. You know, let's just say that I've been seeing on social media a lot of pictures like deer that get spray painted where it's like, pet, you know, do not shoot. I'm a pet.
Yeah.
And because people recover fawns and then they raise them and more or less not fully domesticate them, but befriend them.
Yeah.
I guess it's more like imprinting.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, like if you are, what is it? The vampire movie, werewolf movies that took place in Washington back in the day that was super popular. You know what I'm talking about?
No, I have no idea.
Twilight, the Twilight series. Remember
that? Oh, yeah, yeah.
The whole imprinting, like, oh, that's you. Or Avatar does the same thing. You know, like, hey, they will only match with one. And once they match with you, they're fine.
Lifetime, yeah.
I think animals do that. And so, you know, you see these animals that are spray painted. Hey, don't shoot me.
Yeah.
Really fascinating.
Yeah.
Speaking of animals, dude, I drove down home from work one day and saw axis deer on the side of the road.
Yeah, we checked about that.
I was like, dude, those would be cool to shoot.
Yeah.
They taste delicious.
Crazy animal.
Crazy. And the hardest part is you get these animals in Texas, they run around with low fences, but you can't shoot them because they're on somebody's property.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of private land around here. How about that herd of elk on Bethel?
Yeah. Is that still there? I've been looking for them. I haven't seen them.
Yeah, you know, I hadn't seen them in a while, and then right there around Christmas, we saw them again. But
that ranch must be huge. It must go way back there.
Yeah, but I'll tell you right now, that fence ain't big enough.
No.
It's not.
No.
Anyways, we're getting way out of the weeds.
We're getting off topic. Anyways, brother, glad you're coming back around for another episode.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, guys, if you like it, give a thumbs up, leave a comment, rating, review, all that helps spread the mission. Soul Seekers, mentorship is conservation. Remember, if you want hunting to last for generations to come, you got to be the change you want to see in the world. For Johnny Mac, Flatland Sam, be blessed, freedom on. And as always,
stay soulful.
Stay soulful. If you enjoyed today's podcast and want to support the show, you can always like, share, subscribe, and leave a rating as it helps us share our mission of mentorship is conservation. Thank you so much for tuning in and being a part of Soul Seekers Nation as we transform lives through primal adventure.